Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
So we see that that didn't work. Some of them servants were very pretty. Verse 6, chapter 2. It all amounts to disobedience. The only sin in this Bible is disobedience to God. And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ascalon shall they lie down in the evening. For the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their borders. Ah, a great people, a great nation, America. We are mighty. We are great. No one will ever take that greatness away from us. Ah, really? It says so right here. Any nation that magnifies itself and not God will come to judgment. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits, and the perpetual desolation. The residual of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for their pride, as they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. Christian pride, one of the worst things you can have in your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is humble yourself, because pride will drive a wedge between the spirit man and the mind that he's trying to control. You puff yourself up. Some ways you become your own God. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods, little g, of the earth. And men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen.
It's a neat verse, literally saying that he's going to take the power away from all the gods of the earth.
Yeah.
Well, let's take the pedestals up from underneath.
All the false gods, yeah.
Very neat.
Interestingly enough, you know, whether you accept God now and enter into his kingdom, or you don't accept him, you will bow down to him one day, either in adoration or torment, but it will happen. If you've given this choice, you know, bow down now and have great rewards, bow down later in horrible torment and pain. What would any reasonable human being choose? But there again, the mind of man is contrary to the will of God, the Bible says. And unless that spirit man, which God placed in the heart, gets a little bit of control over the mind, you can't make that choice. And excess of life is one of the main reasons. Pride is one of those excesses. Look at Solomon. Yeah, pride was part of his excesses. He began the excesses of the kings of Israel. And we noticed, so goes the king, so goes the nation. Because the king set the morality in the nation. So goes the president, so goes the nation. We just come out of the worst 4 years this nation's ever had. Total debauchery in our White House. Anything and anyone of any social deference was invited to our White House.
Except for Christians.
Yes, except persons of that worship the God Almighty.
Right.
Yeah, if you were a man and you wore a dress, you got a ticket.
Yep. If you wore a cross, you got targeted.
Yes. And this nation's suffering for it. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. He's talking about there from the poorest to the richest nations. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. It will be a waste area, and only beasts will go there. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the thresholds. For he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city. He will uncover the cedar work. He will uncover the work of the greatest men in the countries. You know, those behind the scenes who influence politics and pay to have their way. He'll uncover it all. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation? And this is a prophecy of America right here, because there's another spot in this book where those almost those same words are used in conjunction with the nation of the United States. And we know from past episodes, yes, it is absolutely the United States. I know Pastor Jim said America's not in this book, but you got to read Between the Lines. Catch us on WBFFradio.com. Between the Lines, a time such as this, America is in this book. Many places, God put America here to bring the gospel to the world. He set us apart from all of Europe and Asia. No influence. Judeo-Christian beliefs, we did that. We sent evangelists to all the world back when we had a heart for God. And he says, there's one more thing I need you to do, America. And I will even give you a special shepherd in the last days to guide you to do this one last thing for me. It is to protect the nation of Israel during an end times battle. Very clear in the book of Daniel and a couple others. And after that, my judgment will be poured out on you for your sins and your crimes against me, because you were once a golden cup in my hand, and now you're a cup full of abominations and the blood of martyrs. You pay for your sins in this life. Oh, Jesus died for all of our sins. The spirit man will stand before God if you believe in Christ and be found holy. The flesh will bear a scar for every sin that you commit down here on this earth. Even when you're a Christian, you know this, Christian, if you're an honest man or woman, you sin, bad things will happen. You sin enough, you will get ill, sick. I'll tell you right here today, you follow God with all your heart and go as sinless as possible, you won't even get a cold. It's that possible. It's right here in the book. In black and white. Oh, everyone gets the common cold. No, everyone doesn't. There are saints on this earth that walk this land almost entirely without any type of infection or illness because their heart is following after God. You ever chronically ill Christians? Oh, well, yeah, maybe they're Christians now, but what were they before? They're paying for those sins. Christ said to the man that he healed, go and sin no more, lest the worst disease come upon you. Because you become a Christian does not erase the sins of the flesh. You will pay for them. And as a Christian, you continue to sin, you will pay even worse for them. Christ come to make your spirit man holy. This flesh is going to drop dead one day and return to the dust. And that rapture, this body doesn't go. I'm sorry. And I'm thankful I have so much titanium in mine, I wouldn't get through the metal detector in heaven. The spirit man is the only one that goes. God gives you a new body when you get to his kingdom. One like the Hebrews had. Powerful, strong, fast, almost superhuman. Yes, superhuman. Because that's what the pure Hebrew was. You got to get in the book of Jasher and Jubilees to understand this. Why do you think the inhabitants of Canaan feared them so much? The purer the Hebrew was, the stronger, the faster, the smarter. And then they dumb themselves down with the seed of the serpent intermingling. Just could not follow God with all their heart. The flesh of these beautiful females was just too strong for them. I am and there is none beside me. Verse 15, this is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly in the affairs of God, secular affairs only. How's the economy doing today, Jonathan?
Yeah.
See, the stock market's up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have it 100% memorized. And
yeah.
They know where it's headed to, where it's been.
And church attendance is down to almost nothing, but doesn't seem to affect the stock market, so yeah, let's not worry about that. It said in her heart, I am, and there is none before beside me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down? Everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. And that's what it says. All of the merchants of the earth cry and weep, because in 1 hour, America is gone. The place, the dumping ground for all of their commodities. She had made all of the salesmen of the world rich. Chapter 3, Book of Zephaniah. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. There was no God in that land. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her mighty men think they are great because of their wealth and status. The judicial systems in this nation prey upon the poor and those unable to buy powerful lawyers. America, this is so much America in Zephaniah. It's not even funny. We are in the last days. Yeah, I've been hearing that for years, Pastor Dave, but no. We are in the last days. One of the final prophecies that had to be fulfilled was the nation of Israel, the capital, moving to Jerusalem. Every president since Jimmy Carter promised to do that. None of them had, well, not that they didn't have the will. It wasn't the time. Donald Trump did it. It said, in the last days, the seat of the power of David's throne will move to Jerusalem. That has been accomplished. The door is open. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Yeah. Started with Phineas. I love Phineas.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one of those characters that just doesn't care. You know, it probably started with one of the rituals one day. He did a little bit wrong, and fire from heaven didn't come down like it did with his brothers. Remember his brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Got out of line.
Got swallowed up.
Fire from heaven come down and roasted them on the spot. Then they all stayed in line for a generation, and Phineas is of the line, but he's like next generation. Oh, wait, you know, I forgot to do this today. I didn't get burnt.
I had light than yours, tell me, which is the light that sits over.
No.
I didn't light that this morning.
Oh, yeah. Let it go out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was actually showing the presence of God.
Right.
So he says, yeah, maybe this God character is not here anymore. What do you think we can get away with, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a kid, how they push the line.
Yeah. So there's a lot of coin in that chest in the back room. I think I might get me some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, nothing happened. Oh, we're free. We'll do whatever we want. We're just going to keep the religion going without God. And that's exactly what religion is. Religion has nothing to do with God. God hates religion. He wants you to follow Him with all your heart. And if you do that, you don't have to bang your head on the 2x4 on the 7th Sunday of each year. You heard of that cult, right? The holy 2x4 knockers?
I've seen people try to do the, you know, put the welts on their back with like the whips.
Oh, yeah. And the priest banging their head on the, I mean, the, uh, the Jews banging their head on the
Wailing Wall,
the remnant of the Roman fort.
They called Solomon's temple.
It wasn't. Christ said, "Every brick of this temple will be torn apart because they had inherited inlaid the entire place with gold." Mm-hmm. Every brick had a gold skim over the top of it. Oh, them Roman soldiers went crazy. He's out there with chisels and hammers. There was not a brick left, just like Christ had said. Mm-hmm. And then years later, the fort, when the Roman Empire fell apart, the fort fell into ruin, and there's one wall of it left. And these Jews pray to the wall of the soldiers that actually destroyed their civilization. Religion. Religion will come to no good. Separation from God and bondage. You know, how many times has your religion told you something? Oh, you can't drink alcohol. The book doesn't say that. The book says you're a fool to be a drunk. But in seven places, it tells you to drink for various reasons. You know?
Worry not the man who drinks for his sorrows.
Yes, exactly. You know, and all of the fornication in here, the religion police turn that into men and women having sex. 98% of the fornication talked about in here is chasing after other gods. God is not the sex police. There was a lot of freedom under the first covenant. Read the story of Judah to find that out.
What about the 2x4s? What did they do?
The holy 2x4 head knockers? I just made that up.
I was going to say, man, they probably do exist.
Here. I hit you with this holy 2x4. Yeah. Your sins will be forgiven. At least you won't remember them.
Yeah. I was about to say, if you hit them hard enough, they won't be thinking about their sins anymore, because probably be trying to figure out what their own name is eventually.
Religion is the reason for all the bloodshed in the world. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it in the name of Jesus Christ, who said, "Love thy neighbor as yourself and love thy Lord God above all." So much blood was shed in the name of Christ through religion, not through Christ's teachings, not from his book here. This book basically tells you religion was given as a punishment. The Levitical law was given because they would not follow God with all their heart. And we see that Christ was exempted from the Levitical law, even though he followed it to a precise point, except he worked on the Sabbath, which has a death penalty. And that's what the Pharisees were able to bring forward to give reason to have him killed under the law. So it was a necessary thing that he'd done to break the law. But we find out, if we read this book, Christ was never bound by the law because he followed God with all of his heart. To obey is better than sacrifice. It says right here. What does that mean? Follow me with all your heart. And this law matters none. And woe to the Christian that accepts Christ and wants to hold on to the law. You're telling Jesus Christ he just didn't do it right. You should have put some kind of religious spectacle in there for me to do after I start following you so I can feel holy every day. I'll tell you what, you follow God with all your heart, the spirit man inside you will feel joy and peace. That's what you're Sabbath is, those who keep Sunday holy and go to the lake and go skiing on Saturday, the true Sabbath. Well, we got to keep Sunday holy. Christ is your Sabbath. Look to him for peace and rest. He became the Sabbath. The only true rest for your spirit man in this life is sanctification through Jesus Christ. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I make their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed. There is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction. So their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. In the end days, they will see the miracles of God. And it won't matter. Their eyes will be blinded so much by their own lusts and desires and pursuit of wealth. Their eyes will be focused on this man, this Antichrist, who has proclaimed himself God. And it won't matter what they see. There'll be an explanation for why that's not real.
And it's chapter 7 where it says, "But they rose early and corrupted all their doings." What came to mind there was a lot of the secret societies, and I know this may be a bunny trail, but a lot of secret societies that are actually trying to implement or trying to make it seem as though time.
You hit it right on the head. These thoughts and these religious beliefs started a long time ago.
Right, and they're trying to play the part, however it's not coming about organically. Yes.
They rose early, good shot. Corrupted all their doings. All the religions of the world have steered off path. Religion ends in death and bondage and separation from God. If you must have a spiritual connection with Him. Your heart must follow after Him. You'll be judged by your heart one day, not the role at the Baptist convention, not your name on a roll at the church, not the fact that you were baptized 17 times. Baptized 17 times, it's lucky you didn't drown. "Therefore wait upon ye, upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms." There is your answer to the great falling away that happens in the first half of the tribulation period. Right there. This is end times, wrath of God, judgment time, right after the 3.5 year mark. What does he say there? "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey." That's my day. That's the day I will pour out the wrath, my wrath. "For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent." And I've often thought about this. The English language, all the languages of mankind, are so elementary and so just in the scope of not having the adequacy to praise God. It says here, "I'm going to give you all an angelic language at this time. Your praise and worship." I think it's even beyond Hebrew. Hebrew is a very complex, very meaningful language. "I'm going to make you all one with a new language, able to serve your God in full capacity." Open up that mind's eye that was closed in the Garden of Eden. You know, there are 10 dimensions to this world. This Bible says so. Just in the book of Genesis. But that eye, the mind's eye, where you can see, when Adam walked in the garden, he could see all of the other dimensions, all the angels, all of the other things around him.
Mm-hmm. Elijah too.
Yes. Including the serpent. He wasn't in their realm. He was one of the other ones, the shiny one. But as soon as they sinned, God dealt out His punishment. That eye closed. The spiritual eye. Yeah. It was like Elijah. What, you said Elijah a second ago?
Yeah,
when his
Elijah was all freaking out, and Elijah's like, "Hey, Lord."
Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking about the other one, when his, what was his servant, Zippo? Is that his name? Well, he went... The captain came to get cleansed of leprosy.
Right.
And he says, "I don't want your money." Elisha said, "I don't want your money." And he leaves, and his servant chases after him and gets some money.
Oh, yeah.
He says, "Where were you?" "I didn't go nowhere."
Yeah.
He said, "My heart's seen everything that you did."
He counted off the individual outfits he got, the livestock,
yes.
The money.
Can you imagine? And that's available to you now, Christian. Follow God with 99% of your heart. You cannot make 100. It takes the sacrifice of Christ to make a hundred. You follow God with a high percentage of your heart. You will begin to see into these other realms. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes when God has the necessity for you to see something. You have closed your mind's eye, your spirit man's ability to see. Elisha said, my heart seen everything that you did. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. All of the world's people who worship me will come together. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. But then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. And thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. Imagine that. Being cleansed of all your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. In that day, I will remember your sins no more. Only because my son sacrificed the perfect sacrifice for you. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. And that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not. And to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land, where they have been put to shame. And that time I will bring you again, even in the time that is together you, will I make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. That is the millennial period. And yes, the Jews will be the chosen ones at that time, because they still have not fully invested in Jesus Christ. They will live under the law. But all of the other nations will see them as great people, because they were God's chosen line to bring forth the Messiah. It's just a little bit of work left to do. You know, I gave you this law as punishment. I gave you this law so you would cry out after me, and you still love this religion. You're going to have this religion with Jesus Christ administering it. Not Phineas. It will be done precisely. It will be done by the book. You will not get out of line anymore. And shortly thereafter, you'll cry out for the simplicity of the first covenant which Jesus Christ restored. Follow me with all your heart. It says easy. That's that easy, Christian. That's what you will be judged by one day, is your heart. The eternal theme of the Old Testament. The heart of man. Follow me with all your heart. That's all it amounts to. There's so much in here about so many things, but every part of it comes down to follow me with all your heart, and you will have blessings beyond anything you can imagine. Don't follow me with all your heart, and you'll be cursed. Again, good to be here with you today on WVFF 97.7, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.